It's the Don't Make It Weird podcast with your hosts, Daniel and Dina Soares.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 27 of the Don't Make It Weird podcast. This is just a very important episode to us. You know, our young podcast is finally on the last year of its mother's insurance. It's wondering if this full-time job is going to really commit and, you know, what's it going to do with its life? I mean, how long is it going to be a roommate of someone else? I don't know, but you know what I do know is that I am joined, as always, by the kinky, kind-hearted knight of knockouts herself, Dina Soares. Yeah, this did not start well. Yeah, we're off to a rolling start.
We're keeping that in, baby.
But you know what? Your buns are looking nice, Dina.
Thank you. I have really good buns. They sell Rance's book, too.
Using your buns effectively. Yep. For the folks at home, I'm not a pervert. Well, I am, but not in this instant. I'm talking about her hair. Okay. All right, guys. But you know who else? Dina, we've got a very special guest coming up here. Someone that I feel like could really appreciate some buns, but I can't remember who it could be. Who is it, Dina?
You literally said that you were supposed to do the intro, but I can do it because our guest this week is an architect of sweet and smutty romance. In her words, if she doesn't give the reader's throbbing heart and pants feelings, she's doing it wrong. Her fluffy, funny, steamy, and swoony romance series, To Be Yours, is available on Amazon, Kindle Unlimited. Ray Kennedy, welcome to the show.
Yeah!
Hi!
What's up, Ray? How we doing?
Were you doing fantastic? Living the life?
Living that life? Hair looking bouncy, firm, you know, looking great?
Thank you, yes.
How do you feel about Dina's buns?
I love them. I love the space buns. The curliness just adds to it. Extra bounce, buns. Bunniness.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you just want to, like, poke the bun. Like, you just want to give, like, a little, you know.
Squeeze.
Oh, you want to squeeze the bun. Okay. Yes.
Well, right, you know.
Definitely.
You know who always is into squeezing buns? Audience, late at night, when all the world is sleeping, he stays up and thinks of you. He wishes on a star that somewhere you are thinking of him, too. Now he's dreaming of raptor sounds tonight till tomorrow when he gets buffaloed right. And there's nowhere in the world he'd rather be than there in his room thinking about erotic reads. Producer Sean, everyone!
For the record, I don't ever get buffaloed. Just putting that out there.
Sir, I have buffaloed you from across the country before.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah, we didn't have proof of it yet. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I'm super excited for you, Ray. I you know, I've been pumped up about this. You're my first ever romance author. You made me feel warm and squishy.
I popped your romance cherry, Daniel.
Oh shit.
We have been strictly a fantasy show until now.
Yes. I mean, technically, so
you popped all our cherries.
Yeah, it's still technically a fantasy if you think about it.
In some ways, yes.
High fantasy.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, are you going to give yourself the audience clap there, Sean?
No.
No, he values himself more.
I'll get the real deal when this goes live.
So, in addition to getting to talk about her book, Ray, I've heard you have a very special story time for us.
It is. It is a story about the time when my friend Matt got roofied in Rome.
Ooh. Oh my god, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, who hasn't been roofied in Rome? I mean, let's be honest, right? Like,
I mean, when in Rome, right?
Yep, exactly.
Like, I almost wish that his first name started with an R, just so we could get, like, the full alliteration. Like, could we just do that?
Raul was roofied in Rome.
Riley was roofied in Rome. Ooh.
Riley?
What do you think?
What?
Yeah.
She said Raul.
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 Raul was roofied in Rome. Cool.
Let's protect
Robert,
Matt's
maybe.
Identity.
Got the R-O.
Robert was roofied in Rome. Okay, there we go. She's better. What is that thing where you say, like, we're all... I was challenged to do it this one time on Twitter.
Yeah, alliteration.
Where all of your words... Alliteration, is that it? Okay.
Alliteration, yes.
I'm glad you knew
it. What I do for you every episode, Dina.
It's literally your intro every single time. alliterated intro.
All right. So we've got a roofie story coming up. But before that, we've got a very special new game that we're going to be busting out for the first time ever. Speaking, we're popping a lot of cherries in this episode. And we're going to be playing a little game with you, Ray. It's called Red Flags. Producer Sean, you want to tell the audience what it's all about?
Absolutely. So, Red Flags. Basically, we're going to have a bachelor slash bachelorette each round. And the other two contestants are going to pitch a possible suitor to that person. Oh my God, are you signing? What are you doing?
No, she took her ring off.
You know, she's not married for this segment.
For this next segment.
All of you are married, but none of you are married right now.
Yeah, you know what? Rings off, everyone. Let's do this. Yep. Red flags, get serious.
Ringless solidarity. Okay. In Red Flags, everyone is going to have their turn as the bachelor or bachelorette. The other two contestants will present a possible suitor to the bachelor slash bachelorette, and then each of the contestants will try to sabotage their opponent's suitor with a red flag, and it'll be something awful. So we'll see how it goes. Is everyone ready?
Let's do this, ready, man. Freddy. I can't even wait.
Ready. Never been better.
Listen, I have my hat backwards. That means I'm serious business today.
All right, ready. So are we going to...
I can fight.
Let's go with our guest, Ray Kennedy, as the first bachelorette. So, Daniel and Dina, I'm sending you perks and red flags at this moment. Just a second, and they will be in your DMs.
Goes down in the DM.
There we go. I didn't even look at them, so I'm not choosing these. They're randomly generated.
Okay. Shit. All right.
Okay. Ew!
Oh, this is going to be good. All right, so I'm going to start us off. All right, Ray.
All right.
Ray, I've got very specialer. God, I can't even say words today. What
specialer?
Is specialer. Yeah, this is...
You say today like this isn't an ongoing issue.
Yeah, I was going to say. I should just not say words. That's what should happen. So, Ray, I've got a very special bachelor for you. I know that you look for a very interesting man. A man that can really bring out the best in you. Well, this man is not only is a yoga instructor, so you know you can get flexible, inner peace, get in,
he's
in
very
all
bendy.
The right places. Yeah, very bendy. And on top of that, this yoga instructor can fucking multiply themselves. That means that every fantasy...
Instant orgy, baby.
Every fantasy that you've ever wanted, Ray, you have a multiplying, wow, bendy yoga instructor to make all your dreams come true.
Wow.
That's going to be really difficult. He can be rubbing my feet and doing the dishes and the laundry at the same time.
Oh,
just
not
hit
that.
All
wait,
of your
see,
kinks.
She said eight.
She's...
Damn it.
She's thinking about it right, though. I like where her head's going with this. It's like multiplicity, you know?
Yeah.
Get really? Like 26 Michael Keatons walking around doing everything for you.
Was it my turn?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, who's your suitor?
My suitor may not be able to multiply himself. However, he does give you multiple orgasms.
Ooh.
And lives on 100 beachfront anchors.
Yeah, see, he's rubbed off. Yeah, anchors.
Acres.
It's just a lot of anchors.
So I'm guessing that means he's loaded, too. That would be implied, right?
Okay, but is there a house on that property, or is it just a bunch of fish?
No, you just shut your damn mouth.
He owns a bunch of land.
You're playing dirty.
I'm just asking for clarification.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of very important things about this. I mean, it's really nice, this guy that she's got for you. But the problem is, for as long as you date them, all your friends will hate you.
Oh, man.
You're gonna be lonely. You're gonna have all that acreage, all that property, and you're just gonna be doing the little slow walk from Arrested Development, you know, little head down, just... But you know what?
Totally adding that sound effect there. The Charlie Brown Christmas song.
Oh, shoot.
Yep.
Okay.
Dina, what's the red
flag? That's rough. Okay.
So, he might be able to multiply himself and whatever the hell else Daniel was trying to convince you of. However, he open mouth kisses his siblings.
Oh no!
You play with fire, bitch.
Oh no!
Shoot.
That is fucked.
Okay, but maybe it's only one of his clones, not like all of them.
No, I'm just imagining all of them now. I'm imagining 30 clones open mouth kissing their siblings.
Just like in a row, like when they come together at like Christmas, it's just like a full-on makeout session.
Oh no, that's horrifying.
But at least there will be friends and multiples of him. You'll never be lonely. There's going to be so many people around.
Your friends would abandon you. The second your friends saw that, they would abandon you.
Can we be real?
He is right. Yeah, that's fair. First time at a party, that's just...
Oh, this is rough. I'm gonna go with Dina's guy.
Oh my god!
Because I don't have that many friends in the first place, to be honest.
That's fair.
Fair.
Damn it.
Fair.
And the multiple guys, that's good, but multiple orgasms,
better.
Multiple guys doesn't equal multiple orgasms.
That's fair. So. You're just gonna, I mean, he could have just one bunch of dudes fumbling at you randomly. 30 guys going, where's the clit? I don't understand.
Yeah. There's no assurance any of them could do it, really, to get the job done, so. I'm gonna have to lean into it.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
All right, so, congratulations, Dina. You are now our next bachelorette. Ray, I have sent you your cards in your Twitter DMs, and Daniel, yours are on the way.
All right. Come on, Dinosaur Wrangler.
That would win.
That would win.
Dinosaur Wrangler. Literally Chris Pratt from the Jurassic movies.
Yes. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Does Blue come with the deal?
I think so. You have to, yeah. But, like, Blue would, like, start listening to me instead of him, and then we'd form a bond, and then I would just leave him.
We just found Dina's fantasy, everybody.
Okay, you know what? I can work with this. I can work with this. I'm feeling good about it. But you know what? Ray, guess first. So give your bachelor.
Oh, how kind of you. All right, Dina. I've got a guy for you.
Okay.
You ready? He's a professional surfer.
Okay.
That means he's ripped.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And he never farts.
Never?
Never. It never happens.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty all right.
That's solid. Yeah, that's
interesting.
My wife would immediately take that as a win.
So he's ripped and doesn't smell bad ever, so that's good to know.
Yeah. He's and he surfs professionally, he so he must make some money at it, right?
Yeah, if he's professional, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what?
Do the Olympics have surfing? Okay, sorry.
They do, I believe.
Do they?
The Summer Olympics? I think so.
We're going to have to look that up.
I think it's newish. I think it's newish to the Summer Olympics.
I know they added skateboarding.
We're going to the Olympics, baby. Okay.
Yeah, let's, yeah.
Yes, they do have surfing in the Summer Games. You're
absolutely
right.
Well, that's amazing.
Good to know.
That's awesome.
All right.
All right, so listen, and this guy sounds great, Dina, and I get it. There's a lot of temptation there with the no farts and all of that, but let me start out by saying that this bachelor that I've got in mind for you is royalty. Literally royalty. You get to be royalty by getting with him. I see where you're going with that. And in addition, he drives something that I think he'll very much appreciate. This is a blank card. So he drives a fucking T-Rex, Dina. He's royalty and he has a damn T-Rex that he uses to drive around town.
Okay, hold
like
on a
live one or like a T-Rex vehicle?
No, like a mechanical dinosaur.
This doesn't fly for me. Hold on.
No, it does. Absolutely.
I'm confused.
You don't drive a dinosaur. Not even Fred Flintstone drives a dinosaur.
You put a saddle on it.
No,
you put
listen.
A saddle on it.
Crap.
God damn it. Daniel, no, that's not a sufficient answer for that blank. You need to drive a vehicle of some type, not a dinosaur.
Okay, mechanical dinosaur that he invented. There you go.
Damn, this bitch. Okay. Okay.
He's riding a T-Rex, Sean. Don't let it. Don't try to
jump
the mojo.
We just heard about Daniel's guy, but what's his red flag?
Well, if the mechanical T-Rex wasn't already a red flag, his other one is that he is 0% attractive to you.
Oh.
0% sexually attractive to you. Zero. Oh.
Really if that sad. Isn't the mother of all red flags, I don't know what is.
Fuck.
I wonder if that's how... Oh, no, I can't say that. That'll piss off some people. Never mind.
Oh, no. Dina, no!
Okay.
Oh, damn it. That... Fuck. All right. I know that there are some issues here, and maybe you're going to have to look past the sexual attractiveness. You've always said that personality matters. This man's royalty drives a mechanical T-Rex. A lot of fun perks, but you want to know what? The problem with Ray's guy, and I know that this is going to be a problem for you, his sex tape with Anakin just went viral.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ray, Anakin is from a previous episode.
Like it's Anakin Skywalker?
It's not Anakin Skywalker. It's a nickname.
No, this is the bitch that I asked her on Valentine's Day, and he fucking said no because I wasn't hot enough.
She's
to date
not
him.
Hot enough for him.
Yeah, but then asked me to go to a party with him the same day. So
this is the song that beat. This is the guy that Beyonce wrote the best thing you'll never have about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is her mortal enemy that your bachelor just had a viral sex tape with.
So he had a sex tape with, he leaked it purposely to embarrass him and to ruin his life. Get him fired.
Oh, wow.
That's a hell of a turnaround.
No,
that's
some
manipulative
shit
right there.
She brought it around. I feel like if I was... I'm going to say it. It's going to piss people off. I feel like if Kate Middleton can look at her prince and, you know, he's not very attractive.
Oh, my God, you're doing it.
I can get through it as long as he didn't sleep with Anakin.
Yes.
Incredible.
Damn it.
Oh, okay.
Damn it.
That's my answer.
That's a win for me. I really thought I was screwed with that.
I really thought you were, too.
I thought you were, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
thought that was a slam dunk. All right.
That was really good.
That's my future queen.
All right, Daniel, our newest eligible bachelor, is up next. And Ray and Dina, I'm sending you your cards now. Okay. You've been doing that DJ horn a lot lately.
Yeah, you're really
excited. I don't know what I'm on.
What's he on about?
Daniel, our eligible bachelor, is being presented with two suitors or suitresses by Dinosaurus and Ray. Let's go.
Okay, do I go first or do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I will go first.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ray.
There you go. Be assertive.
My suitress for you is straight up magical. That wasn't one of the things. That was just me selling it.
Oh, okay.
But she owns a unicorn.
That's pretty fucking magical.
A real life unicorn.
Yeah.
And she also gives the best pugs.
Oh my god.
God, I love
pugs. Drop the mic.
Yeah.
That's literally Daniel's dream right there. A unicorn and the best hugs.
That's my life right now. That's everything.
Literally end the game now. Okay, sorry, go ahead. Dina, I didn't mean to set you up like that.
No, it's okay, it's fair. Like, I heard the best hugs and I was like, well, I'm done.
Yeah.
So,
I love hugs.
Bachelorette number Dina. Number, it's not number one.
All right, Dina. Okay.
From Dina.
Number Dina.
That was great.
Okay.
Dina's now a number.
She is an airline pilot, so I mean, you can get free tickets anywhere you want. And like, that's pretty cool. Also, gives you multiple orgasms.
How'd you get multiple orgasms again?
Got it again!
Dina loves going back to the well on these.
I do.
Also, she has two T-Rexes that are in love with each other and are going to repopulate the earth.
Jurassic Park, let's go.
All right, so Ray, what's the red flag?
Mm-hmm. Hold on, hold on. Could that be Ray's next... Oh, wait, wait. Could that be Ray's next book to be your dinosaur?
Oh, yes. That's perfect.
All right, sorry.
I had buy three copies.
All right. Well, the multiple orgasms is a little bit weird, not going to lie, for you, but here's one thing that you're going to have to deal with. She refuses to wash her hands. Ever. Oh. Ever.
Ever?
She never washes her hands. She refuses. Well,
how does that work in the shower?
That's not sanitary.
Something you don't know about Daniel is he never washes his hands either, so it's like a soulmate thing for him.
Linked forever.
Ask his wife. She'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, my bachelorette may not wash her hands, but Ray's, is, like, insanely violently jealous of your pet.
Of my pet?
Of your pet?
Pet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, she has a unicorn, so...
God damn it. So there's only room for a unicorn in here.
We've got some logistics here.
Wait, is she jealous of the unicorn or is it of your dogs?
No, she'd be jealous of Daniel's.
Yeah, maybe she's the only
her pet she's cool with.
Yeah, okay.
So she can have her pet, but Daniel, your pet's gotta go or she's gonna get like really, really upset.
Like violently. That's the thing you said. Violently.
Violently jealous.
I may have added violent in there because that's me.
Whoa, whoa, okay, hold on. Now, no, I need clarification here. This is a huge difference between like
okay, the actual the actual card says jealous of your pet. There's no violently involved.
Okay.
Whatever.
That changes all
Dina
of this.
Dina was embellishing it a little bit.
We all embellish a little bit. 13 inches.
Oh my.
That's the size of Edge from early 90s, 2000 WWE's penis. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Good God.
Yeah.
Gross. No one wants that.
It's documented.
Yeah. Well,
look, here's the thing.
I had
seriously,
to read
no one
it out
wants
loud,
it.
Okay?
13
no one wants
motherfucking
it.
Inches.
You love the damn ruler.
Too much. It's too much.
It's way too much.
She has the ruler on deck.
I mean, here's the thing.
It's way too much.
Here's the thing. Dina, you had me when you had me convinced it was violently jealous. Because I'm like, I don't want my animals to be hurt, and I don't want to be hurt because of my animals.
Damn.
And I love them. But if it's just dealing with the fact that maybe she's a little crazy... I can get over it because I roll around in a unicorn and get really good hugs. So
yeah,
I love hugs, Dina. I'm sorry,
Dina,
what I am.
Hold on,
that's fair.
I could have told you that this is what he was going to pick, and
I know that
you
I knew
didn't
that.
Cater. You no. didn't cater, Dina. Usually you cater. You didn't cater today.
This is why
first
I cater.
First of all, listen, Daniel's one and done with orgasms. Okay, he's not going for multiples.
Yep,
I'm just here
he's
to
a one and done fella.
I wasn't catering.
I'm just here to go to
wait
sleep
till tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow. And I've known him for a long time. He would rather have the best hug in the world than get off. I'm telling you right now.
Dude, so I love hugs. Yeah. Yep. I'm sorry. Ray's the winner like, on this one.
Ray totally nailed it. That was incredible.
All right, guys. Fair. That was a pretty epic rendition of Red Flags. We can get our rings back on our fingers. It is time for a little story time with Ray.
All right.
Oh, hold on. Sean's going to do a little
intro. Hold on.
It's story time with Ray.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready. I've been ready.
Ready? Okay. All right. So, in college, I studied abroad for a semester in Rome. Greatest summer of my life, actually. There were 11 of us. We all lived in the same apartment.
Oh, my God.
And the first, which it was good. It was good. It was great. So, the first Friday night that we were there, so we had been there all week. We'd done classes. Friday night, we decided we're going to do a pub crawl.
All right, hold on. Before I go, right. Because I can't stop thinking about this, with 11 people, who was the bastard that didn't do their dishes? Like, just left them in the sink? Because there had to be at least one.
Daniel is that bastard, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
I'm sure there were some, but I can't really remember. We were pretty responsible. Okay. And we're in Italy, so we ate at restaurants a lot. We didn't eat at the apartment that much.
Yeah,
okay.
Hold on.
This sounds like the real world Rome. Like, were you on a reality show? 11 people in one house?
It was not a reality show.
Did everybody have their own bed?
On bed? Yes.
One bed, 11 people.
Just one
just
giant
making
bed.
Sure.
That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate romance trope. One bed, 11 people is the ultimate romance trope.
Oh god.
Now I think there were four bedrooms. I only had a room with one person. Some people had a room with three. Some people were two.
Okay.
But yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're all in the same apartment. So we decided to do a pub crawl that first Friday night. And so the deal with the pub crawl was the first bar that you went to, you got all you can eat free pizza and free beer and wine.
I'm in.
What?
And the rest of the bars, you had to pay for things. But so I'm 20 at the time. I actually had my 21st birthday there later in the summer. And I wasn't a huge beer or wine drinker at that time. And so I decided that before we go out, I'm going to just pregame really hard, bought some vodka at the store. I'm sure you guys know where this is going. So anyway, I drank probably three like really big glasses of screwdriver in about 45 minutes.
Shit.
Like very fast while we were getting ready.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, and also, we had just had finals. This was the beginning of the summer. So the 2-3 months prior, I was really busy. I really hadn't been drinking. So my tolerance was low, and I underestimated what I could do. So we all go out. Everyone at this point is completely sober except me. I'm on the verge of trashed. We go out. We go to the first bar.
Before it starts.
Yes. We go to the first bar. I vaguely remember the first bar. It was fine. Things were fine. We just kind of hung out. They were getting, you know, their drinks and their pizza, and I was like, I'm good. I'm just going to, like, chill. Second bar, we got there. I immediately started throwing up.
Oh, no.
And so everyone else is having a great time. I am hashtag not having a good time. So, and the bathroom there, like, was occupied, and outside of the bathroom was a sink. And so I couldn't get into the bathroom, so I was just throwing up in the sink, basically in a hallway with a bunch of people around me, a bunch of strangers. So that was awesome.
Sounds like my 20s.
Was great.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that's like when I was 22.
That was me last year. I don't know what you're talking about.
That was me Thursday night. So anyway, so that was fun. Then we moved on to the third bar. I have zero recollection of the third bar, basically. I'm still throwing up. This time in a bathroom,
are
which
your
was
friends
better.
Like helping you like get to locations?
A couple of friends were checking in on me, like rubbing the back every couple of minutes, like you're doing all right, like you're alive. And but then they'd go on, you know, they're having a good time.
It's 10 people. One of them had to be responsible.
Yeah.
And then at the third bar, I finally was feeling a little bit better, but not inside. I had to go outside, so I was just standing outside like the whole time. And then we're like, finally, okay, let's go into the fourth bar. Fourth bar. This is where like. My drunkenness had gone down. Everyone else's drunkenness had gone up, and we met in like this magical middle. So fourth bar was amazing. Literally the best time of my life. Like the music was great, the dancing was great. We were all like drunk, but not sick. We're all feeling. We're feeling great. It was the best time.
Right part of the axis.
Yep, yep. So fourth bar was the best time of my life. Amazing. We go on to the fifth bar.
Oh no!
Now this is where I'm sobering up by this. Point in the night, feeling fine. Everyone else is shit-faced, having issues. And the lines get into the bar. We met some, there were Americans, a few, like, they were Navy guys, I think. We go into the bar. Everyone else just is going crazy, and it's weird. People are dancing on tables. People are dancing on the bar. One of the girls straight up giving a blowjob to one of the Navy guys in the corner.
Wait, what? We can't just go over that.
That escalated a little bit.
So it wasn't even like a hand job. It was just full on just going for it in the corner.
Yeah, blowjob in the corner to one of the guys that she just met. Her nickname, by the way, the rest of summer was Beach. We affectionately called her.
I can imagine why.
One of my friends that was dancing on a table took her shirt off. It was just, things were getting crazy. So my friend Matt, he has a pretty high alcohol tolerance. He'd been really doing pretty good. He gets a drink at the bar, that fifth bar, and he goes from fine to, like, not being able to stand up. Like, not being able to keep his eyes open. And, like, I'm, at this point, like, the only sober one. So I'm kind of mama-bearing us all and be like, all right, I think we should probably head on home. Like, things are getting a little crazy. Things are getting out of hand.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you go from the drunkest one to the mama bear, you know it's been a long night.
What a night of time travel that was.
This was a whole entire evening.
You Benjamin buttoned your drinking experience.
Exactly. So I got most everyone gathered. I think a few people stayed. Beach definitely stayed.
Yeah, she did.
A couple more blowjobs to get out.
So me and Matt, a couple other people, one of the girls lost one of her shoes, so she just threw her other one away. She walked all the way home barefoot across Rome, which I don't recommend. But, you know, good for her. Yeah. We made it. We made it home. We get there. Matt immediately strips naked.
Oh, good for
just you. Completely. Like, basically as soon as we get inside. he goes and he sits on the toilet. We have video and photographic evidence of this. So he's naked on the toilet. He passes out. He's passed out on the toilet. At one point, he falls off the toilet, but grabs the seat, breaks the seat. It's broken the whole rest of the summer.
Oh, no!
And then he actually spent the whole night curled up in the bottom of the shower in the bathroom. It's like a 3-foot by 3-foot, like, shower, just, like, curled up.
Yeah, in a little ball.
Fetal in the shower. He woke up in the shower, and he has almost no recollection of, like, half the night.
Fuck.
And he's pretty sure that he was roofied, and checks out.
Oh, but, my God.
Overall,
she was tripping naked.
Yeah. Overall, great night. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if getting roofied ends up being a good night,
did he, I just have to ask this. Did he, like, strip down naked and then go take a shit and you guys just, like, watched him until he passed out? I don't understand.
I don't actually know if a shit happened, but he was on the toilet, so it could have happened. We kept a little bit of a distance. We kept, like, saying by, like, it was a weird setup. That bathroom was actually, like, through the kitchen. So it was, like, on the other side of the kitchen. So, like, we were, like, in the kitchen looking. He just had the door wide open. Mm-hmm. Kind of like...
It's like a Friends episode where, like, they all stick their head through the door.
Yeah. Just kind of checking in.
Matt's a naked pooper. It's okay.
Yeah.
He's got to get completely nude before he poops.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like they're... that's incredible. Oh my gosh. Poor Matt. I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad that didn't get worse.
He's okay. No, he and I, we're still good friends, actually. No, he's all right.
I just want to know why someone would roofie Matt. Like, were they trying to take him home? Like, do we know?
I mean, I feel like he might have taken one for the team. Like, maybe he's a hero.
Oh, maybe
it could have been a female or someone else.
I don't know.
Yeah,
and then he grabbed the wrong drink or something like that. I've had a friend do that.
Yeah. Listen, Matt's a hero. All right, that's the story. That's where we're going with
it. He jumped on a grenade for someone. That's my headcanon now.
Yep.
A naked grenade. Yep.
Naked grenade.
That's fair.
God, now imagine that being a nickname. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, that's Matt. They call him the naked grenade. It's like, fuck yeah, that's it.
I like
it. All right. So I hope you're ready. Because this is the most emotional part of every one of our shows. This is where we peel back the layers of the potato. We get to know your real self, the deep depths of your emotion. Are you ready for this? Are you prepared?
I am not prepared, but I'm ready.
All right. That's all you can ever be. Dina! Let's go.
Was that an indication that I was supposed to ask the first question? Because we know that I never asked the first question.
Yeah, we should know this by now.
All right. Well, you know what, Ray? It just so happens that you brought about a very good question in my mind from that last story. Is that Italian, that Rome pizza, as good as advertised, or are the American counterparts better?
I mean, it's a different style of pizza, but yeah, it's amazing. It's the best. Yeah.
So you're not going to beat it. Sorry. Team Rome. Okay. What, like, it's, what, yeah, it's really what good. Do you get it's on really the good. Best Rome pizza?
I feel like Sean wants to say something.
I wanted to say something because I thought on. We were doing author questions.
I'm sorry. Cringing because Daniel is totally stepping on Dina's toes right now with the food-related questions.
She told me to go first. I misunderstood. I thought we were doing author questions, not personal questions. No, I can take the lead on this one.
So, Dina, 27 episodes in, it's always been you first in the interview segment. In what world do the author questions come first?
You literally told me to go because you're like,
I don't know what I'm doing.
Fake it till you make it, baby. Just do it.
Okay, Ray, I have a question for you since we're getting into the personal questions where you're going to need therapy after this. Is ravioli... Nope. It's a Pop-Tart. Ravioli.
Is a Pop-Tart ravioli?
It's a Pop-Tart ravioli.
I'm going to have to say no. I feel like ravioli is pasta and it's soft, and a Pop-Tart is like crunchy and it's like pastry. I feel like they're different.
But it's got like the good stuff inside. It's like pocketed.
It has filling, but lots of pastries have filling. I'm going to have to
say they're all square like ravioli, though.
That's a fair point.
She's going to go no.
I'm still going to say that Pop-Tarts are not ravioli, but maybe ravioli is a cousin of a Pop-Tart.
A cousin.
So they are related.
I mean, could you open mouth kiss them?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I've just forgotten about that.
I think they're far enough apart related that they could legally be allowed to get married.
So they're like second cousins. Yeah.
It has to be far-ish apart.
Okay.
Well, just to creep producer Sean out, just so you guys know, first cousins can marry in California.
Are you sure?
Yep, I had to look
this
up.
I know in Utah they can marry once they're over the age of 65.
I was going to say maybe in Utah.
Yeah, it's in California.
I don't know why that came to my mind, but I was definitely thinking of Utah.
Nope. Go ahead. Yep.
He just found out, didn't he? He Googled it.
Yeah. Yeah. I fact checked that and it's absolutely correct. First cousins can marry in California.
I have an awkward cousin story for later.
Also in Georgia. So suck it, Daniel.
Everyone expects Georgia. Okay. Everyone expects Georgia. It's the Californians that.
Oh, okay. Because you live in the South, you're just like leaning into it. Like they expect it here. California is supposed to be progressive and liberal.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I just put my phone down and then I forgot what I was going to ask. It's fine. What is the proper way to make a hamburger? Like, how do you stack your hamburger? The proper way.
The proper way. Wow. Well, I'm really not an expert at making hamburgers.
That's a cop out.
I mean, I would say on the bottom, you're going to put your sauce. Like I usually do like mayo and ketchup, but if you're a mustard person, that too. I don't really like mustard. Then you're going to put on your beef, your cheese, your lettuce. And then if you do like tomato and onion, top of that. I don't know. If it were me, I'd put more sauce on. To be fair, on both buns, probably
toasted bun.
Yeah. Sandwich
toasted
it together.
Toasted or non-toasted.
I like a toasted bun.
Oh yeah,
I like a toasted bun.
Yeah.
That's a winner, right?
Lightly toasted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I mean, so Ray, let me ask you this: do you have any like kind of off the wall topping that you're a fan of? Like, do you like the fried egg on there? Putting the peanut butter on it? Like, do you have any crazy burger? Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a thing.
Fried egg on a burger is actually really good. I have done that several times, but that's not even crazy here. That's like,
yeah, it's just expected.
Pretty normal-ish.
If you don't offer a fried egg on the burger, that's almost insulting.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything crazy. I can't think of anything crazy. I've never had a peanut butter on a burger, but I've actually heard it's good. Never had it.
I like that you're open-minded.
Onion rings, fried onion straws are a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Put on burgers sometimes. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't think that I've tried anything super crazy.
Okay.
I'm kind of baby when it comes to my food. I just eat what I like. And I don't try a bunch of crazy things.
That being said, though, like, what's your favorite form of potato?
Uh-oh.
This was the big one. This is a big one.
This is Idaho.
It is a big one.
Hold on.
I live in Idaho, which is the potato state. Yeah. We have potatoes on our license plates.
You're essentially like, the ambassador of potatoes on the show right now. Mm-hmm.
Captain mm-hmm, Potato.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to have to go for a little bit of a cheat answer.
Oh.
Because it really depends.
Okay.
I would say my classic, probably top, if you know, going with sandwich, burger, fries, for sure.
What kind of fries?
That's, you know, kind of a, what kind of fries? You know, I like a regular, fry. I don't like the shoestring fries. I don't like a steak, too much of a steak fry, just like a regular fry, crunchy, soft on the inside. Gotta be good. Definitely with fry sauce. You have to have fry sauce. It's just, the other one would be, you know, if you're having like dinner, like if you're having like meatloaf, if you're having like a steak, a pork chop, mashed potatoes all the way. It's really definitely a tie between garlic or mashed potatoes and gravy. It's just a tie. I can't pick. It could go either way.
You're making mashed potatoes, though, do you like the skin still in there a little bit or no?
Ooh.
When I'm making mashed potatoes, I usually leave a little bit of skin in. Like, not, like a little, I don't do full potato, yeah, but like when I'm chopping them off, I just like, I square them up and you leave a little bit of skin.
Oh. Yeah.
And you have to clean it really good. Yeah.
I like mm-hmm. it. I like it. So, all right, so here's my question with that, especially since you are an Idahoan. Is that the right word? Idahoan?
Idahoan.
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 We all be hoeing. I'm with you. So can you tell? I had to do one. I had to do at least one. Can you tell the difference between an Idaho potato and some potato grown elsewhere? Like, is there an actual difference in quality of potato? Do you have the preference?
Idaho potatoes are the best for making fries and for like baked potatoes.
But is it obvious if it's really like good from like homegrown or?
I thought every Idahoan has a patch of potatoes in their backyard, right?
Just like every Floridian has oranges.
Gators.
And like a pet alligator in their backyard and a tank underground.
That is true.
You know, it's just a Florida thing.
The sad thing about living in Idaho is that we grow really good potatoes and we ship them all out. So actually a lot of Idahoans don't actually get the good potatoes like at the store.
I know,
unless you go to like a farmer's market
or something like that.
That's
so unusual. Yeah.
No, dude, Georgia's the same way. Georgia's known for peaches. All the peaches that you get in Georgia are from elsewhere. We ship all of our peaches out.
You know what's really crazy? Florida's known for oranges. We lost all of our orange crops like 10 years ago, 15 years ago now. We don't grow oranges anymore, but we still have that label. We don't grow oranges anymore. I think we have like two orange groves left in the state.
Every state's an illusion.
Yeah. It's all a lie.
Yeah.
I've had one Florida orange in my life, and that was because I lived by an orange grove and I stole their oranges.
Okay, Dean.
There's literally a Florida's natural brand of orange juice.
Yeah.
And it's living a lie.
It's not from our oranges. We had a huge plague that went through, killed all of our orange crops, and we haven't had them in like 15 years. Gosh.
Well, you know what? You guys can rest assured that California's avocados are alive and strong, and they're the best in the country. So you're welcome.
Good for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? All your first cousins
are
out here.
From Mexico.
Yeah, I know those.
Those other commercials, like,
California's practically part of Mexico. Anyways.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
Big Avocado, call us. We want you to sponsor us. Let's talk about books.
All right, Ray. It is time to step into the author's chair. And as you guys know, she is the author of the To Be Yours series. You guys can find it anywhere where books are sold. And like I said at the beginning of the show, you are my first romance author. You are my first one. You're the one that took the cherry. So like, if you don't call me tomorrow, like I'm going to be really heartbroken. So
That's funny, because if someone who'd never read romance asked me for a recommendation, I would not recommend my books first.
Like, no. I don't read romance.
A glowing sales pitch from Ray Kennedy, ladies and gentlemen.
They're not really for beginner romance readers. So they're at least intermediate.
They're advanced.
Jump right into
intermediate to advanced level, yeah.
I do not read romance, and I picked it up.
So I have a question for Daniel, actually, before we go forward. As a man who doesn't wear pants, how did the throbbing pants feelings thing work out for you?
Listen, there were times where I was like listening to it in the car, and like you start getting like a tingly sensation in your nethers.
In the car?
Yeah. And so there was definitely times where it's like I'm driving on my way to go coach children, and there's a little throbbing, and I'm like, well, this is awkward.
Don't bring up the children. What is wrong with you?
That's the second time we're going to have to cut you saying something inappropriate about children. That's not what I meant. God damn it.
This is staying in. The people need to see the kind of shit that we deal with.
That's not what I meant. I did not mean the children were. I meant it was awkward because there's some steamy scenes that
You're just making it worse, buddy. You're just making it worse.
All right, well, all right, guys. I'm going to be on the list now the rest of the show. So,
red flag.
That's a huge red flag right there.
He's going to have to be like... Oh my god, who's the denim guy from Arrested Development? We have to tell
the denim guy? Oh my god, Never Nude?
Yes, Tobias.
We're just going to have to introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Tobias. I'm a registered sex offender. Also, nice to meet you.
Folks at home, that's not what I meant. Oh, damn it.
I would trust Daniel with my children, I promise.
Thank you.
This is
going to
be
that.
The promo clip, by the way. This is going to be front and center with no context.
Once again,
no context whatsoever.
Once again, I made a mess out of myself. Shit. All right. So Ray, as I try to keep the composure together, one of the things that, you know, before we actually dive into your book itself, one of the things that we had an interesting conversation with about Dina, because she's not a romance author, but she has some stuff that kind of toes the line there. And you know, with talking with other people, there's almost like a stigma with romance writers. Like if you tell a person that you're a romance author, and you know, I've had a lot of people say that they, you know, get their legitimacy as an actual author kind of questioned, and that people kind of brush it off. Like, what's it like when you tell people that you're a romance author?
So. Yeah, a lot of people, so when you say you write romance, they immediately are just like, oh, so you just write a, you know, smut, you just write books about sex, you, like there's no substance, no real story, everything's really cheesy, and it's bullshit, to be honest. They're books just like any other books. I think romance, the way people think about it, and it is sort of true, so basically to be a romance, a plot has to be the romance.
Yeah.
So a lot of people be like, well, nothing else is going on. I'm like, well, the plot is the romance, so that's what's going on. And they're like, why isn't, you know, this isn't like an action adventure story. They're not going and doing a bunch of things. And like, well, you can have B plots or subplots of other things, but the A plot really is just about the character. So they're really character driven novels as opposed to super plot driven novels usually. And so because of that, a lot of people think they don't have as much substance. But I think that if you really want to do a case study on character work and chemistry, then an interpersonal, like, and dialogue and banter and just like emotional kind of writing, then like romance has that for sure. And there's a lot of skill that's involved in creating characters and having them fall in love and having it be believable and have the audience actually like kind of feel that too and want them to be together. Because if you read a book and there's no chemistry between the characters in a romance, like the entire book fails.
That's the point, right? I actually have a question to add on to that, Daniel. I don't mean to step on your toes, but as someone who doesn't write, I'm not a huge reader either, but I do read. There is this distinction between like romance books versus like a romance movie, for example. When someone says a movie is romantic, no one ever thinks of sex, but someone thinks of a romance book, it's always sex is the first thing people think of. Why is that? What is the distinction between the two when it's essentially the same genre,
Yeah.
But for some reason, romance novels have that stigma.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's great.
Are you asking Daniel or me?
No, you. God, I'm not. Yeah.
I'm just trying to drive the conversation with everybody.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, most rom-coms, romantic movies are usually the PG-13 kind of area. So when they have a sex scene, it's usually more of a fade to black kind of situation. They're usually not super focused on that. And romances can run the gamut. They can run the gamut of like no steam at all. Like they like maybe kiss at the end, hold hands. And then there's, you know, they can go all the way to, you know, banging in the first chapter. So there's a lot of difference there. And
right.
And so, yeah, my books definitely are in the more steamy end of that. So, which is why I wouldn't recommend it for a first time romance reader.
I don't really know how to word this question per se. So I might have to like rephrase and like prod you for more. But when I'm friends with a couple other romance authors from Team White Claw that have like, they have like this whole list, like Excel spreadsheet of like vocab to use when they're writing their steamy scenes or whatever in order to avoid making it super cringy and like winding up on our cringy copulation segment of the show. So like, did you ever struggle with avoiding the cringe? Like, cause I know I'm not a romance author, but if I'm writing any type of romantic scene whatsoever, I have to have my editor, hey, Kenzie, on the phone and like walking through it because I make things so awkward and so cringy. It's not even funny. It's gross. But like, did you have that struggle?
I don't have an Excel spreadsheet by any means. But it is a struggle having words that are neither too technical nor too funny. Because in the moment, like, you're not really trying to be funny. Like, you're trying to have it be either, you know, intimate or romantic or sexy. So there's not very many words that really work. So I tend to just, I don't really have a list. There's a very few words that I tend to use, just more kind of direct terminology. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't shy away. Like, I'm not, you know, calling it his, you know, his velvet member or her secret garden, that type of thing. I just more go more direct, but not
secret garden. My favorite book.
So just go direct. Like, I don't know, like, if I can just like what words you don't want me to say on here, but like
we're past that point.
I'm not gonna go medical. Like, I don't think I've like I would ever say like penis, but just say cock. Like, yeah. You know, the hardest part for me actually is vagina words. There are very, very few.
We had this conversation.
Very, very few words of
this has come up before. Like, there are no fun like words for vagina.
Yeah,
there's like one maybe.
Well, like
no,
like,
yeah,
hoo ha. That's it.
But you can't do that in the middle of a sex scene. And he crept down to my hoo ha.
Like, you can't say that.
That's super hot.
Yeah, it's not. What incarnation?
It's definitely a little bit of a struggle. So, yeah, I just kind of use like direct words, movement, and I try not to use too many words. And you just because you don't only focus on the physical, also focus on like the emotional aspects. And also another thing that a lot of people forget in sex scenes when they're writing them that I think is really hot is dialogue. Dialogue can be excellent in sex scenes too.
Adding a little dirty talk.
The sexiness, and, where you're not only just talking about, you know, physical, you know, like
it's not just
A
like,
and B, yeah. Thrusting. Yeah. Though I do use thrust a lot. There's not, That's another word. There's, you have to look for thesaurus words.
Yeah, I was going
to
say gyrate doesn't hit the same. but so like one of the things, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, and it was something that like I was telling Sean and Dina like in our chat that like I think really surprised me and I found very interesting was how you built your characters and how you did your relationship building. Because, you know, in fantasy books, it's how do you world build without doing info dumps? How do you show, not tell? And I think that was something that I was really impressed with how you did. Like, you know, a little bit of spoiler alerts, because in the beginning, there's a little bit of a love triangle, but it doesn't last long. But, you know, one of the things that you notice is that, like, Adam is doing things for her, doing things to her. He's bringing her flowers. He is making her watch his type of movie. And Cade you see that he wants to be inclusive. Like, he's a part of the cooking. He's a part of that. He likes to sit on the couch and watch the same movies as her. And so you just slowly build these kind of characters, and you show, even before it's seen, who the right guy is, so to speak, that there is differences in their approach that I think are really fascinating. And so I guess talk to me a little bit about how you go about character building and relationship building in this type of world.
So when you're having two characters that you want the audience to believe really are right for each other and belong together and like are going to, after the book is over, stay together and just be together forever, you have to figure out a way that their personalities mesh, and how, what if one of them is missing something, the other one kind of like has it. Not that they complete each other, but that they make each other better when they're together. And I don't know, with the first book, man, my first book is just, it's crazy. I started writing it like a long time ago, really on a whim. And so I didn't really have any kind of direction. It just kind of happened. So those characters, I think, are very just kind of real, down to earth. They do a lot of hanging out just like at home. Like, there's not a whole, you know, they don't, you know, he's not like a billionaire. He doesn't take her out on a helicopter. They just like, they just like to hang out at home. They chill, they cook together, they watch movies, and they just like, they talk and, you know, giggle and just enjoy each other's company. And it just sort of worked out. So like in my fourth book, for instance, I originally planned on the girl being with another guy. And as I started writing it and figuring out how I wanted them to be together, I'm like, they just did not have any chemistry. Like, I'm like, they don't. And she just has this chemistry with another character. And like, it just, it, like, they just worked together. So, there's a whole argument when people say like, oh, my characters went into this and I didn't want them to. And people are like, that's dumb. And like, it's really, I think when your characters do things that you don't have planned ahead of time, it's your subconscious, like really telling you what it's supposed to be. And when you get in the zone writing, it's really your subconscious making a lot of decisions. That's why sometimes you go off plot, you go off outline. Because that's just how it's meant to go down. So,
and that's amazing. And some, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. My bad.
You're good. No, I was done.
Okay. Sorry about that. Cause I was really excited. Cause I know you've got a reading for us, and I'd love to hear a little reading from the To Be Yours series.
Okay. All right. So this one I'm going to read. So it's from the last book in the To Be Yours series, To Be Your Only, the fourth one. It's not spicy.
Damn.
Sorry.
Daniel's so upset.
So I shouldn't play the cringy music? That's not appropriate? Okay. Sorry.
I mean, you can if you want. okay. So it's just the first chapter. So she opens, they're at a wedding, and she has just gotten done dancing with her crush, Wes. Her name is Kyla. I don't think it's even mentioned in this yet. All right. The song ends, and Wes drops his hand from my waist and puts them in his pockets as he takes a step back. He stands there awkwardly for a second, giving me a shy smile, and I'm just about to ask if he wants to dance some more when Eric swoops in between us. I'll take this dance. What the actual fuck? He grabs my hand and wraps his other arm tightly around my waist so that our chests are almost touching. The song is more upbeat than the last one, and he starts swinging me around and doing spins and shit. He's only a couple inches taller than me, but with these 4-inch heels, he is firmly in shorter than me territory, and it feels awkward as fuck dancing with him, after having to crane my neck to look up at Wes. What are you doing? I screech as he dips me so low my head almost hits the dance floor. He leans over me, his face close to mine, and looks at me with a mischievous glint in his honey brown eyes. Fuck me, but I think we're dancing, Rosenbaum. I roll my eyes as he lifts me out of the dip and spins me around again. It makes the skirt of my knee-length dress twirl around. And yeah, okay, that's kind of fun. No shit, we're dancing. I meant, why are you dancing with me? Oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to answer the question you meant to ask instead of the one you actually asked. He starts doing this shuffle step, so I have to follow him back and forth, and then side to side. I think we've taken a tour of the entire goddamn dance floor. You're annoying. Taking both of my hands, he turns me around again, this time whirling me in close so my back is to his chest and our arms are crisscrossed across my stomach. I think you meant to say charismatic. He spins me out away from him, so we're facing each other again. I actually meant to say you're a pain in the ass. Charming. Infuriating. Eric just smiles and pulls me in closer, slowing his steps. One hand firm on my back, while the other laced through my fingers. To answer your question of why I'm dancing with you, when you so eloquently pointed out to Wes and me that we hadn't danced with anyone all night, I thought you were offering to help alleviate us of our loneliness. I try to hold back my eye roll again, but damn it, I can't. I wasn't right. You were just offering your company to Wes, then. I narrow my eyes at him. Oh, come on. It's obvious you have a crush on Wes. So what? Are you finally making your move on him? Something like that. Not that I want to talk about it with you, but since you're obviously so interested in my life, I'll have you know that Wes and I would be perfect together. He just needs to open his eyes and look at me. I mean, hello. I'm right here in front of him. The song ends, and Eric gives me low one more time, holding me there for a moment to lean in close again. So close. I could count the freckles on his nose if I wanted. His gaze flickers to my mouth for a split second. Yeah. Must be frustrating.
That was amazing!
That was really good! Yeah.
Holy crap, I loved that dialogue there. That was amazing.
I'm kind of crushing on Wes myself.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. That little bastard. No, that was so good. That was such a... I think that that's such a good kind of show of what you do with a lot of your kind of scenes. Like you said, you make it feel really realistic and very homey. Like, again, you know, I read the first book and, you know, a lot of comments Cade makes about Hallie's feet. And the smell of them, you know. So I guess I'll go a quick one and then I'll let Dean ask another is, you know, how do you go about kind of creating that realistic, comfortable dialogue between characters as you're building everything?
So dialogue, it's at the same time one of my favorite things to write and also like one of the hardest things to write. So I just, when I'm writing it, I a lot of times kind of say it out loud to myself to make sure it sounds sort of normal. I think the other part of it is just kind of knowing your characters. I think for me, I usually have to hit the 30, maybe 40% mark in book before I feel like I really know the character well enough to really know what they would say and how they would say it. And so you just have to go back in the beginning and, you know, fix up little things in editing and when you're revising. But yeah, mostly just kind of like say things out loud. You know, talk to myself while I'm doing it and see what kind of mannerisms I envision them doing. A lot of times I'll, you know, kind of close my eyes and like picture how they say it and what they're doing with their body. And yeah. And part of it is, I don't know, part of it just happens. Part of it's just magic, Daniel. I'm just magic.
She's like the unicorn.
She's like a unicorn. Exactly. Yeah. Do you give really good hugs though too, Ray?
Oh, thank you.
Well, do you? I don't know. I haven't hugged you. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said I do. And I'm like,
yeah, he did.
Nice compliment.
He said you give really good hugs too.
I was trying to say, do you also? I definitely think we're going to have to replay the audio there.
It was a little bit odd the way it was worded. I was going to go with it.
We don't forget
hugs are Daniel's love language. So, like, this is a big deal to him.
Oh, my God.
I would say I give excellent hugs. I'm also very short. So, I'm going to just, like,
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love that. All right. My best friend is super short and I love her hugs because it's just like, okay.
Yeah. My face ends up in a lot of boobs.
Nice.
I have no response. Yeah, it's nice.
As a tall person, I can't relate.
So what was it like having, because obviously in romance, you have to have, it's focused on your characters. You have to have chemistry. And you have to have something keeping your characters apart in order to drive plot. So what was it like trying to keep your characters apart when I'm sure internally you were just like, no, just be together, just like all the readers were. We all were just like, no, be together. It's fine. Stop making this a problem.
Yeah.
What was that like for you emotionally as a writer?
It's always a little bit difficult. I think when I first start writing a book, I'm kind of a mix between a plotter and a planter, I think most people are, but generally I get idea for the characters, kind of like a trope or a couple like main kind of romance tropes I know I want to do, and then like their main conflict, like what's going to be their third act breakup, like what's going to be the thing that keeps them apart. I usually need to know that in the beginning so I know what I'm going toward. So since I know that from the beginning, it's a little bit less heartbreaking for me writing it. Just because it's already there. But I would say that my first book, I was definitely the most, heartless with breaking them up and like keeping them apart. Yep. And there was like five different things at the end that were just getting a little crazy. My other, like my more recent books, like the third and fourth one, I've definitely go a little easier on them, I think. Not having quite such like a black moment, but just like, don't know, trying to be a little bit easier. So it's definitely, it's hard, but it's good because in the conflict, or when they're apart, it's one of the reasons that it's necessary, not only because conflict is necessary in a story, but because when you see how these two characters react and act when they fight or when they are apart and when they get back together, that shows you another aspect of their relationship. It's another way to convince the readers that they're meant for each other, that the way that they come together and resolve their problems is also showing the strength in their relationship, and they're stronger after the breakup than they were before. And so it's an important aspect of romance for sure.
Perfect. So I've got one more question before we get into our kind of off the wall, crazy, zany questions that we're going to go for you. And this one is, you know, kind of getting to the steamy aspect of it. One of the things I found really interesting with your characters is not only was it very sex positive, but there was a lot of, I guess, very mature communication as it went through. Because I think that the stigma is it's a lot of rip the shirt off and just have at each other and all that. But, you know, you discuss like getting tested for STDs. The characters wear condoms. You know, every time before Cade and Hallie hook up, it's always a, hey, are you ready? Are you, you know, okay to do this? Like, there's a conversation going on with it.
Hold on. Is it Haley or Hallie?
Haley.
Yep.
Me screwing up a name. Me screwing up a name. How would that go? Listen, right. That's how Siri pronounced it. That's how Siri pronounced it.
Feel free to just stop Daniel in his tracks and tell him he's wrong about something.
It's fair.
It's a theme. It's a recurring theme on the show.
I am on a roll this episode.
Okay, continue, Daniel. God, you were being very smart.
What a really, like a really good question.
Yeah,
it was. Really, really good setup for your question. And
just absolutely just fucked it up. Yeah.
So I think in probably all modern romances, anything written like after maybe the year 2000, I think there's been a very big, large discourse in the romance community about the issue of consent and safety and all that, and just making sure it's in there. Not only because that's just, you know, a part of life and something that's important, but because also just a responsibility kind of it. There's a lot of stigma about romances written, especially early on, so the 70s and 80s, where there's like some dubious consent going on. There's some straight up rape in some of them, to be honest. That's something that I think a lot of romance writers nowadays are, we don't want to be a part of that. We're like, nah, we're not going to do that. So it's an important part, consent. And also for readers, especially young readers, I think a lot of girls start reading romance when, you know, they're teenagers, and just letting them know that, that they should have their boundaries, and that the partner they're with should respect their boundaries, and that that's an important part of a relationship and sex. And also just consent is sexy, and like asking, are you good with this? Do you like this? How does this feel?
I was going to say that
during the whole like scene, and like having the guy check in. My, the third book, the hero in my third book is a virgin. So it's her first time when she's with the guy. And he checks in with her throughout the process to make sure she's okay. This is like continually. And that's not only supportive and it just, shows a bond, but also like it's sexy. It's hot. Like, yeah. Frankly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's sexy for a man too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, to know that you're wanted in that moment and it's clear and it's stated, it's a very sexy thing on both sides, I think.
Yeah. Consent's sexy, man. That's their new tagline here. I love that.
That's the new t-shirt. Consent is sexy.
Yep.
So, all right. Thank you so much for chatting with us about the book. Now it's time to get a little bit weird with some off-the-wall questions. So I think you know what's coming up next, Dina. You're on the spot.
I hate him.
He's going to make her go first.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. Why?
Because I'm a gentleman.
Fine. All right,
Ray. You're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he is. He's a fucking dick. All right, Ray. So pick any sexy scene from book one. And insert a dinosaur noise and tell us how it would change.
I feel like Dina is being unusually open about her own personal sex life right now, which is really weird.
No.
Yep. No.
No.
No. This doesn't.
I have never
Never in my goddamn life have I made
no dinosaur noises in the bedroom.
No, okay. I don't make any dinosaur noises outside of the show.
It's just a coincidence that you're bringing this up. Okay, just clarify.
As I stare at dinosaur underwear that I have folded on my desk, yes.
On your desk? Damn it, Dina.
Why do you have underwear on your desk?
I just got done folding laundry and they were just...
Oh, Dina. Okay. Oh, no.
Always doing chores during a recording session.
Oh, Dina.
I am. I held up socks earlier. I'm glad nobody noticed.
Oh, my God.
She's like pairing socks. Hello. I'm sorry.
I didn't notice. I'm surprised. Okay. I would say probably the scene where Kate is giving her a foot rub on the couch.
This bitch. Okay,
and
so
it's a very magical foot rub.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go
and,
on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap, she's right. We did drink and we didn't know. So who does the dinosaur and noise?
Probably at the point where she puts the pillow over her face because she's embarrassed at what's going on. And he asks if she's okay. Yep. Yep, that would be her reply. Just
okay. Fair enough.
I just want you to know.
Sounds like a completely normal scene to me.
I just want you to know.
It'd be muffled, though. Muffled.
I want you to know how mad at you I am right now, Dina, because you want to know what my original question was going to be?
I'm sure you're going to pretend like you were going to steal mine. What?
No, it was going to be replace Cade with Seth Rogen, and how does that scene change? But
oh god
that's literally your film doppelganger, Daniel. What are you trying to say?
Oh my god, he's so gross.
Thank you, Dina. Damn it,
why are you like this?
It's perfect.
He just said that he's my film doppelganger. You called him gross
and you said he's gross. Yeah,
and now you've just said that I'm gross.
I know exactly what I did.
So
I know what I did.
Replace the raptor noise with Seth Rogen's obnoxious laughter, and how does the scene go?
Well, I would tell you that if he was laughing like Seth Rogen during that scene, she definitely would not have come.
As expected.
That's fair. That's
you know
fair.
Who that, you know who you should have replaced it with? Who's that comedian that does the cat countdown, whatever, British show? Where he laughs like a donkey and he like inhales instead of exhaling when he laughs. He goes,
I have no idea who you're talking about right now. That's, yeah, I got nothing.
Cat, 8 out of 10 cats countdown. My UK people will understand.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing there. I got absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's how he laughs.
All right.
My hand to God.
All right.
Are you talking about Jimmy Carr?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard him laugh. He's an amazing comedian.
Yes,
but I don't think I've ever heard him laugh.
Look
before.
Up him laughing.
We're going to have to add this into the post.
Should we do it now?
Yeah,
I think we need to do it now.
Okay. I need to know. I got to know. It sounds like a robot.
He is inhaling. He is inhaling. That's so weird.
Oh my god. Yeah, that might be an orgasm killer. Oh god.
Okay, but what is worse though? Jimmy Carr or Seth Rogen laugh?
Yeah, that's a great question. Ray, what do you think? Oh, we're going to get to Seth Rogen? All right, yeah, we're going to compare this head to head.
Yeah, real quick. Yeah. I feel like both would be...
They're both bad.
Yeah.
Both would be an O killer, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I think both would just make it dry right up.
Turn that shit into a desert.
It's the opposite of the Pornhub sound. That's what I need right now.
Just
yep.
Oh god. All right, Ray. Well, we've gotten to know you. We've gotten to know your book. We've gotten to replace your characters in your book with some dinosaurs and Seth Rogen. But now it's time for the greatest segment of all time. Cringy copulation. Let's go.
All right.
Ray, I am sending this to your Twitter DMs, sliding right in.
Okay. And
do not read ahead. You're reading this cold.
Okay.
For the first time to us.
And for the record, we don't come up with these. This is taken from a list from a literary group in the UK. We are just passing it along to the world.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So gross.
I love it. I love it so much.
Right. Okay. Are your bodies ready?
No.
Okay, my body's ready.
All right. Okay. All right. This is by, or from, The Crime Czar by Nicola McAuliffe from 2003.
Oh, yeah, 2003, baby.
Graduated
You're
then.
So
all right. It's all right. I won't break, she whispered. She felt him, aware of his size and weight, his care not to hurt her. She moved to accommodate him and felt the blind probings before he slipped inside her. He was bigger than she had remembered. She tilted her hips and felt the weight of his balls on her. What? Small expanse of skin between vagina and anus. Perineum. Or perineum. How do you say that? Perineum?
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 Yeah, I think so.
Perineum?
Perineum, baby. Perineum, yeah.
Perineum. Was that it? Her mind screamed. Shut up, Lucy. You're not doing a Cosmopolitan crossword now.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, she felt the weight of his balls on her.
Yeah,
on her
what? Heavy balls.
How what heavy are those balls?
She was trying to think of what the name
She's
of...
She's got heavy, of, heavy balls.
Yeah, and it, she was trying to think of what the... What the name of was where his balls were resting, and it was her perineum.
Yeah, like, here's what's funny is when you started talking earlier about, like, you didn't want to get too scientific with it, I was like, oh man, this read's going to be perfect for you.
Perineum. Incredible.
So how do you feel about your own romance scenes now that you've gotten a taste of some of the worst romance reads of all time?
I've read some bad ones, definitely. I've read some... A lot, you know. The term cock meat has been used.
Oh, no.
Cock meat sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Ray,
actually,
can we get
I
a
think I read one where,
right
where they said fuck meat. Anyway.
I think we need a commitment from you right now to use the word perineum in your next
book.
Yeah,
can you do that for us?
Just as a shout out to us, just like little, slide it in there
little,
somewhere.
A little
Doesn't
Easter
even
egg.
Have to be a sex
That's
scene.
What she said.
I might be able to.
Jesus.
Yeah. All right, so now you've got me curious. I'm going a little rogue here. What are some of the worst descriptions of genitalia or the acts of sex that you can just think of off the top of your head?
I think genitalia is high on that list.
Yeah, it is. Quite is.
Yeah, definitely don't want to say that.
Just lightning round
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that's definitely not sexy. Oh, man, there's so many. Let's see. Love button, her secret garden, her flower. Hate all those.
The flower.
Cave.
Yeah. Cave. Ew.
The cave.
Oh,
the damp cave.
The damp cave.
Anytime you use damp or moist is not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Love stick, love rod, steel wrapped in velvet.
Oh, ew. Steel wrapped
love
in velvet.
Love sword.
That's going in Daniel's next
The love sword. That's the name of my new band.
The drunken sword and the love sword are going to be enemies.
Right there with the fuck squid. Only way to stop it. You need a love sword to stop the fuck squid. Oh, shit. No. That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more, but yeah.
No, that's incredible. We might have to like bring you back for like. Right, like the lightning round of shit found in erotica with Ray. Oh man,
we might need Ray to scout us some really good velvet wrapped steel rod readings for our future episodes.
Can you write bad? You could write us some.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
But you have to write.
Punch the love button.
Jess the Mess did it once, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like we asked her to write really bad erotica for us, and it was. Unbelievably good.
Yeah, it was
orgasm.
Shout out, Jess.
Yeah,
I probably could. Probably
punch the love button. I'm in. Oh, fuck. All right. Punch so, Ray, As folks know, the To Be Yours series is out here on Amazon, on Kindle Unlimited. You can check it out anywhere. But it's time for you to be a part of our proud tradition. The 1 second pitch, where you get 1 second to sell this book. All right. Just about as long as I last in bed, you get to sell this book. All right.
Oh, my God.
Dina's face falls.
He's a proud cuck.
Oh.
He's a proud cuck.
Only for you, Sean. So you got 1 second. Sell this book to the folks at home. And then we'll give you an opportunity to do a full pitch for your series here. Are you ready?
All right. Let me just take a second here. Okay, so the pitch for the whole series?
No, we're going 1 second pitch.
No, he's going to count you down to the 1 second pitch.
Like, but whatever comes to your mind, you just like word vomit it.
And then after that, you can actually.
Yeah, for your whole series, unless you want to sell your latest one, whichever one you'd like to do.
We just want to make you feel really anxious and uncomfortable for 1 second.
Yes, basically. Okay.
Yes. Love it. Love it. It's my favorite. All right. My favorite thing to feel.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Three.
They fall in love and he always goes down.
You know what?
Yes.
That's excellent because normally there's threats of violence here and now we have threats of oral satisfaction.
Exactly.
I'm on board.
If you're into the oral satisfaction.
Oh, God.
All right, Ray, you get a full opportunity. Sell the folks at home on your To Be Yours series.
All right. So the To Be Yours series, they're just fun books. They're sort of new adults, so kind of college age kids just having fun figuring out their lives and what they're going to do with themselves. And then they fall in love in the process. And the guys are usually dirty talkers and they care a lot about their women. They always make sure that they are pleased in the bedroom and outside the bedroom, to be honest, as well. And they just, they have a really good time. I think the guys are always really swoony. I think the girls tend to be, or I hope, relatable and sort of funny and sarcastic and a little bit snarky sometimes. And they're good, fun times. I hope they're a little bit funny. And I hope they also make you feel something in your heart and your pants. And yeah.
Outstanding. And let me tell you, there's a bonus because this was my like biggest unexpected takeaway is you're really good about writing like food and food creation. Like I kept on like reading your book and I was like, yeah, I'm really hungry after.
Hungry and horny.
Hungry
baby.
And horny.
I actually really do like writing about food. And the guy in my first book is a chef. So obviously there's a lot of food in that. And then I think in my second book, her mom cooks a lot of kind of like home kind of like cooking meals. So there's a lot of that too. There's a little bit less of that in the last two, though. There's a lot of pie in the fourth.
Is that a euphemism?
We love eating pie. Like, I was going to say. Poontang pie?
There's both literal pie and that kind of pie. A lot of that kind of pie.
Hey, add it to the list of fun words for vagina.
There we go.
Pie.
Let's go. We're bringing it back. You know what? We need to start a campaign. Let's make fun words that aren't cringy about vaginas.
Okay? I'm in.
Make it a tweet on the pod.
The fun
Give me
words.
Fun words for vagina that aren't cringy.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure I've tweeted about it, and I've still not come up with good vagina words.
Yeah, there's,
well, yeah. We'll help you out. We'll help you out. We'll get all the good ones, and we'll give them to you for your next book.
We'll start your Excel sheet.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this has been another incredible episode of the Don't Make It Weird podcast. And, you know, as always, you can find me on Twitter at Dan Q Writes Thing. That's Dan Q Writes Thing. Not dank, not dance, despite what everyone
it's
else
dance.
Can tell you.
It's dance and dank.
Dance and dance.
It's yeah. dance.
Ray, would you tell them it's not dance? Can you tell them that?
It's dance.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's not?
don't gaslight me. Dina, where can
I don't think there's anyone who reads Dan Q and doesn't say dank in their head, though. Like, I'm sorry.
Like, for real, nobody doesn't look at that and go, Dan Q, dank. Like, it's just, it's what has to happen.
Now no one will publish me.
Oh my god.
Dina, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DinosaurusD. That's D like D's.
And the fabulous, incredible Ray Kennedy. Where can the folks find you?
They can find me on Twitter at RayKennedy_. I also have an Instagram and a Facebook, but I'm not very active on there. And I have a website, www.RayKennedyAuthor.com.
Awesome.
Find out more about my books.
And producer Sean, who definitely didn't just ditch us, where can the folks find you?
I would say urinating, but I just took care of that. So instead, I'm probably going to get another drink after this.
Perfect. All right, guys, it's been another incredible episode of the Don't Make It Weird podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Jazz hands.
The Don't Make It Weird podcast, hosted by Daniel Quigley and Dina Soros. Produced by me, Sean Holden. Theme song by Amaria. A very special thanks to our guest this week, Ray Kennedy. You can find her website at RayKennedyAuthor.com. The link is in the description. If you're listening to the audio-only version of this show, come check out the video version on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Don't Make It Weird Podcast. Oh, and one more thing. If you're still listening, do us a favor. Send the message, "Good morning, Shannon," to @ShannonBWrites on Twitter. That's @ShannonBWrites. She would love to hear from you.